The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly, your host, Monday through Friday from 12 to 1. On the show today, we've got a couple of members of the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, which gives its winter concert on Monday evening at Smith Memorial Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. And first up, we'll be talking with Carl Teichman, who is Director of Community Relations at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington. They are sponsoring, hosting the 21st annual Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday Gospel Festival, which runs from 3 until 9 on Monday. Lots of gospel music going on from throughout that community and beyond. And we'll have some samples for you on the show today on Live and Local. It was vocalist Fontella Bass, This Little Light of Mine, with guitarist Ron Sowell, guitarist Michael Lipton, pianist Bob Thompson, saxophonist Doug Payne, bassist John Kessler, drummer Ahmed Solomon, and background vocals Julie Adams, Kathy Matea, Susie Wills, and Melody Crittenden. That's from Mountain Stage, a show that I think comes from West Virginia. And in fact, I got to hear some of it when I was driving back from Pennsylvania just this past Christmas. Yep, produced by West Virginia Public Radio, and hearing it on Illinois Public Media here on FM 90.9. It's live and local. We have support today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting is from 2 to 6 p.m. and features a selection of wines from around the world. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Carl Teichman, who is Director of Community Relations at Illinois Wesleyan University, and we're going to be talking about the 21st annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday Gospel Festival, which is going to be on Monday at Illinois Wesleyan from 3 in the afternoon until 9 o'clock in Westbrook Auditorium of Presser Hall in Bloomington. And we're pleased to have you. First, did I pronounce your last name right?
You did correctly. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
21st annual, have you been involved since the beginning?
Yes, I have. I was one of the individuals who was here at the very beginning when the founder of the event, Mrs. Corinne Sims, approached the university and said that she had her own dream of trying to promote keeping the legacy of Dr. King alive here in the Bloomington-Normal area. And she approached the university to see if we would be interested in helping to host a gospel festival that would last. When it first started, it started about noon and went till, I'd say, about 5 o'clock. And now we've adjusted the time a little bit to put a little later in the afternoon and to go into the evening hours.
So I gather there's no shortage of gospel singing in your area to provide 6 hours worth.
No, there isn't. The program basically has a couple of what we refer to as out-of-town choirs. We've got the Fantastic Jones family out of Springfield, Illinois, and then the Gales Memorial Mass Choir, which is out of Aurora, Illinois. Those two choirs come in. But then the remaining music is provided here from the local churches that are connected with Bloomington Normal. And also usually there's a choir from Illinois State University and from Illinois Wesleyan University, gospel choirs.
Naturally, when we talk about Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, we think of African-American celebrations of various kind. What's the balance of, say, black choirs to white choirs, you know, the range of gospel styles?
Well, it's a pretty good mix of ethnicity represented in the crowd and in the choirs. You know, a lot of the churches here, while we do have some predominantly black churches, there's still a lot of individuals that are non-African American in the choirs that perform, and we have a couple of groups that are essentially, for example, on our campus, the gospel choir, gospel chapel choir, is actually predominantly white. It's a pretty good mix. It's a pretty good blend.
Are you a singer yourself?
No, I'm not. I wouldn't even try to do that.
Darn, no. I was going to ask you to demonstrate.
Yeah, no.
Have you been involved primarily in advertising the event, or have you been one of the organizers of the event?
I've essentially been one of the organizers of the event all along. As I said, this started out with Mrs. Sims, and I got to know her and her family early on, and it's been a partnership with their family ever since. Unfortunately, Mrs. Sims passed on in 2007, and so we're not only continuing the legacy of Dr. King, but her own legacy in making things happen and such. And I would say that one of the reasons why Mrs. Sims approached Illinois Wesleyan was the fact that Dr. King had visited our campus twice, back in 1962 and in 1966. And so she felt kind of a kinship to be drawn to the place where Dr. King had been in the Bloomington Normal areas.
So who was she, and what gave her the idea to do it?
Well, Mrs. Sims was just a local community person here who started the United Community Gospel Singers. She liked gospel music and did that in connection with her husband, who was a pastor up in Streeter. And she decided that King's legacy needed to be represented in Bloomington Normal here a little more than it had been. And so she got some people together and said, you know, this would be a good thing to do, and let's approach the university. And she did, and she approached some of the leadership then in Bloomington, the mayor then, Jesse Smart, and asked him for some help in terms of being willing to come and speak at the program. And contacted some local ministers and then started contacting some churches with choirs that she was familiar with. And it just kind of grew out of that grassroots efforts to make something happen. And so we've been doing this now for 21 years.
So if the initial festival was, I think you said, from 12 to 5, so 5 hours there, it sounds like even from the beginning it wasn't difficult to pull together performers.
No, it wasn't. It's never been a problem to get choirs. Actually, one of the difficulties we have is to say no to groups that would like to perform, but unfortunately, you know, we're hitting our limit at 6 hours per se.
So how do you go about choosing
who's
on the show?
At this point, what we try to do is we try to give preference to the choirs that have performed before in the past. A lot of the groups that we have on campus, or a lot of the groups that we have participating in the program, are groups that have participated since the beginning. Mount Pisgah Baptist Church has been with us ever since day one, and Gales Memorial Mass Choir has been with us during that time. Union Baptist Church has been with us, Loving Missionary Baptist Church. And so those groups have been here, and we tend to give them preference before we add any other acts. Actually, for this year, the program's pretty much the same as it was last year. So we didn't have to add any acts this year to perform. So finding 6 hours of gospel music here in Bloomington Normal isn't a real difficult problem at all.
Just to walk by my side. Oh, Lord, I sure do need you. Just to be my guide whenever
you see me going
in the just to walk by my side. Oh, Lord,
Lord, I
sure do need you just to be my God whenever
you see me going in the wrong way.
Oh,
don't let me go astray.
You got to tell the Lord,
Lord,
I need you. You got to do it. Go down on your knees. Have a little talk with Jesus. Just a little talk with Jesus. Make everything all right. What you gotta tell him is, look up and say,
oh,
I need you.
I need you.
Lord, I do.
I need you.
Somebody needs the Lord.
I need you.
Need him in your home.
I need you.
Need the Lord.
I need you.
Need him right now.
I need you.
What you gotta tell him is,
I need you.
Look up and tell the Lord.
I need you.
Yes,
I need.
Go down
I need.
On your knees.
I need.
Tell him
I need.
About some
yes,
trouble.
I need.
Tell him
I need.
I
need.
I really need.
I need.
Save.
Yes, I need.
Call him.
I need.
Call him.
I need.
I dare you.
I need.
Call
yes,
him.
I need.
Say, Lord, fix it for me.
I need.
I said, fix it.
I need.
Fix it,
yes,
Jesus.
I need
you.
I need.
To fix it.
I need.
Right now.
I need.
Jesus.
I need.
Right now.
I need.
Jesus.
I need.
Tell him
I need
like
yes,
this.
I need,
Lord,
I need,
I need,
I need, yes, I need,
yeah.
I need,
what about you?
I need, yes,
anybody
I need,
need the love?
Lord,
Lord,
I need you.
Lord, I,
Lord, I
Lord,
need you.
Tell him, Lord.
Fantastic Jones family from Springfield, Illinois, who are going to be among the participants at the 21st Annual Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday Gospel Festival at Illinois Wesleyan University's Westbrook Auditorium in Presser Hall in Bloomington. That's on Park Street, 1210 Park Street. It starts at 3 o'clock on Monday and will continue until 9 o'clock. Support for our show today on Live and Local comes in part from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. And we'll continue my conversation with Carl Teichman, Director of Community Relations at Illinois Wesleyan University and one of the organizers of Monday's Gospel Festival. My guest on this portion of Live and Local. Do the choirs range in size and type of presentation?
They do. We have some praise dance teams that perform, and we have some groups like the Fantastic Jones family is basically a group of about five individuals. And then, of course, we've got the United Community Gospel Singers Mass Choir, and they usually have about 30 to 40 people. That participate. Gales Memorial Mass Choir is just about that same size too. So it's it ranges. We have a couple of kids choirs that perform. The Boys and Girls Club here in Bloomington Normal has a group that comes out and performs, as well as the Hour of Deliverance Youth Choir, which is usually 7-8 people that stand up and perform. So it's a wide range in terms of. The size that the groups perform and such. And then we also have a couple of people who do solos. We Shall Overcome, as you would probably assume, is one of the first songs to be done. We have a individual here in the community, Homer Calhoun, who does a great rendition of that with the Bloomington Normal Mass Choir.
I want to clarify earlier and just make sure I understood. Mm-hmm. You said praise dancers?
Praise dance teams.
Mm-hmm. And what is that like?
Well, it's basically a artistic dance routine that's done from a religious perspective. It's a way of letting the spirit move you and doing it, I think the people have said before, in for the glory of God. And so it is a dance routine that is meant to be to have not just an artistic bent, but also a spiritual bent.
I imagine that both for the dancers and for the various choirs, there's different types of instrumental accompaniment,
mm-hmm.
ranging from minimal with piano to, I mean, I imagine
yep.
you've got to have a Hammond B3 organ up there, or
with
two.
With the Leslie speakers, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is. Actually, we've got some of the praise dance team or a praise dance team that may use a little bit of recorded music, but there's some a cappella groups that perform, and of course, there's the larger groups that have the full range of drums, bass, guitar, piano, and the Hammond B3. Couldn't have a gospel festival without a Hammond B3 and a Leslie speaker.
That yeah, I would think so.
wouldn't be the same, and I'll tell you, it's difficult finding Hammond B3s with Leslie's these days.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not as easily accessible like they used to be.
I think I know somebody in Champaign-Urbana who's apparently got several.
Oh, really?
I probably shouldn't give out his name, just in case suddenly the demand hits.
Yeah.
So what is the feel of the event? Is it like a revival? Is it like a church service? Is it like a political rally?
It's like a revival. It's like an uplifting spirit. It's meant to make people feel good. It's meant to people to reflect on the work of social justice that Dr. King did, and to take a day to celebrate that and feel good about all that's done, but more importantly, take a look at what still needs to be done.
Is there any preaching and testifying that goes on, or mostly just singing?
Not as much. You know, it's not as so much a religious service as it is a gospel festival. Now, some of that happens. You know, the Roots of Gospel Festival, the Spirit will move you. And so some people are moved to pray, and there is invocations given, and certainly prayer is part of it, but it's more focused on the music.
Any speeches of Dr. King's read?
Well, actually, a couple of things that we do is we have a local minister here, Reverend David Wayne Brown, who's with the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. He does a presentation on I Have a Dream. And then, of course, one of the things that we do is we, at the beginning of the event, before when people are coming in, we play a copy or a file of the speech that Dr. King did here back on our campus in 1966. And so it's a nice tie-in to hearing his voice still.
Yeah, I imagine that's a pretty profound moment.
It very much is. A lot of people here in town, it's amazing, remember the day that Dr. King came.
Did he come specifically, you know, to visit the university, or was he sort of en route to somewhere else and
no,
it was a
well,
stopover?
Well, actually, he came down from Chicago. He was invited. Our student government here, our student senate, had been familiar with his work, very familiar with his work, and extended an invitation to him to come down and give a speech in February of 1966, and he gladly accepted. And so we were very honored. And I think probably what helped get us Dr. King at that moment, because obviously he had gone from being a relatively obscure individual for many years, and then all of a sudden came to national prominence. I think what made coming to Illinois Wesleyan a thing that he felt he wanted to do was the fact that we had invited him back in 62 when religious life group invited him to come talk about social justice issues and, of course, about the civil rights movement at that time. And so he had already been here to campus, already been familiar with what we were all about, and I think we felt very honored to have him on campus back then.
Illinois Wesleyan has initially a religious aspect to its founding. Is there still any religious affiliation?
Yeah, we're still affiliated with the Methodist Church. So we have that affiliation still.
So that's, I imagine, got to sort of carry some mm-hmm. some weight still in presenting this kind of event.
Sure, it does. It's part of our heritage. It's part of what the the roots of the institution per se.
I've never been in Westbrook Auditorium. How big a place is it?
It's about 600 people.
I imagine it gets. Does it have a resonant acoustic?
Yes, it does.
So I imagine the place pretty well rocks out with all the choirs.
It does. It can rival some of the best concerts you've been to in terms of the sound in that room. And of course, it's all amplified too, and so that just makes it even stronger. So.
Does that mean folks should bring their earplugs?
Sometimes you do. Sometimes you do. Actually, I've been sitting in the front row occasionally with a couple of the groups, and you really start to feel the bass pretty strongly in your chest. So.
And this is free and open to the public.
Free and open to the public, and we invite anyone to come by and sit down and spend an hour, or sit down and spend six if you'd like.
And you can do that. We're talking about the 21st Annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday Gospel Festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on Monday at Illinois Wesleyan University's Westbrook Auditorium in Presser Hall, which is on Park Street in Bloomington. Free and open to the public. It starts at 3 o'clock, ends at 9 o'clock or thereabouts, I guess.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Lots of different choirs. Do any of them sort of mass together at the end?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting you mention that, because one of the things that we started a couple of years ago in tribute to Mrs. Sims is that we invite all of the choirs that have performed during the day, and a majority of them stick around still, to come on stage and do Precious Lord as a fitting into the festival.
And if somebody wants more information, where do they go?
They can give me a call, and my line, direct line, is area code 309-556-3429.
That's 309-556-3429.
That's correct.
Is there any kind of website?
Yeah, we do. If you go to the Illinois Wesleyan website, which is www.iwu.edu, if you go to that website, and then on the right-hand side, you'll see a tab for event spotlights, and right below that is the Martin Luther King Gospel Festival, and it gives people all of the details. And also on the website, you can get a campus map if you need directions to Westbrook Auditorium.
And we've been talking with Carl Teichman, Director of Community Relations at Illinois Wesleyan University, and we appreciate your joining us very much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking with you.
I was strolling along life highway, hot arrows, a mighty storm. Heard a voice from heaven saying, you're standing out to heaven. Oh, you better stay in the safety zone.
That was music from the same Mountain Stage program that I aired from the beginning of the show, live from Mountain Stage in West Virginia. It's a National Public Radio program, or at least it comes from West Virginia Public Radio, I should say. And that was a performance by the Fairfield Four, Standing in the Safety Zone. James Hill, Isaac Freeman, W.L. Richardson, Wilson Waters Jr., and Walter Settles. I count five. I wonder how they come up with the Fairfield Four. Well, maybe somebody is planning to take over, but in any event, that heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and you can go out and hear the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. National Holiday Gospel Festival Monday from 3 to 9 at Westbrook Auditorium, Presser Hall in Bloomington, on the Illinois Wesleyan University campus. And among the performers will be the United Community Gospel Singers Mass Choir, the Gales Memorial Mass Choir, the Fantastic Jones Family, the Mount Pisgah Adult Choir, Praise Dancers and Sunbeam Choir, Union Baptist Church Adult Choir, Integrity Singers of Peoria, Illinois Wesleyan Chapel Gospel Choir, and the Illinois State Interdenominational Youth Choir, as well as the Loving Missionary Baptist Choir, JAM Production Choir, Boys and Girls Club Choir, Crosswinds Prairie Dance Team, the Hour of Deliverance Youth Choir, and the City of Refuge Adult Choir, and also some soloists and speakers involved in that festival on Monday. Also on Monday, except in the evening, you could actually do both events if you wanted. Go to part of one and all of the other, or the other way around, is the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra Winter Concert, which is Monday night at 7:30 at Smith Memorial Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. And that orchestra draws from approximately a 50-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana, and lots of different schools represented. And we have one school and, I guess, one home represented with us today. I have two guests on the show, both of them string players in the youth orchestra. Cassie Phelps goes to, I think, Central High School in Champaign. And what year are you, Cassie?
I'm a junior.
Oh, just a junior. So we got you for another year.
Yep.
And Daniel Escobar is homeschooled in Urbana. Cassie plays viola and Daniel plays violin in the orchestra. And you are what year?
Sophomore.
A sophomore.
I'd say, yeah.
You'd say.
Well, homeschool and it's sort of kind of a mix up of all things.
how do you determine that? I'm always been curious. I mean, how do you know what you are if you're at home?
My mom tells me.
Does your mom do all the teaching, or is your mom and dad?
Just my mom. Mostly, I mean, we get the textbooks and I work through them. She just corrects it all. Not a lot of like talking, teaching sort of thing.
You're highly motivated on your own, is that it?
Yeah.
That's what she would like to believe. And I know you've got two siblings older than you, both of whom have played violin in the youth orchestra, David and Emelinda. And David, last I knew, was playing organ more than violin. Is that still true?
I don't think so. He's in medical school up at Northwestern, so I don't think he has much time for the organ.
No, probably not. And then Melinda is in the violin performance program.
Right, at the University of Illinois.
Also was a very good pianist. Is she still playing piano at all, do you know?
Yeah, I think she accompanies some of her friends on the violin. She plays piano, they play violin.
So do you feel pressure as being the third violinist in the family? Or you could even say fourth, counting your mom.
Well, yeah. I guess, but my sister is so much better, so I don't think I could really match up to that.
Well, she's so much older.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. And then you've got
a brother beneath you, Benjamin.
And does he play something?
He plays violin and piano.
So have you guys done violin quartets?
No.
Accompany each other?
We accompany each other.
Well, that should be fun. You ought to do a family recital. I mean, we just heard earlier the Fantastic Jones family of Springfield doing gospel music. You should do a classical music band. Cassie, do you have siblings?
I have a little brother.
And does he play anything?
He plays alto saxophone.
And have you ever done a saxophone viola duet?
Not yet.
But it's coming?
It might.
You'd have to work on that. I'd like to hear it, actually. Would be something probably a little bit different. Similar ranges, perhaps. You guys have been in the orchestra various number of years. Cassie, about how long?
3 years.
3 years. Daniel, also three?
I think this is my third year, yeah.
Yeah. And what made you come out for it in the first place, and what made you stay?
My private teacher actually told me that you were looking for viola players, and he introduced me to it, and I just auditioned, and I got in. And pretty much it's been really fun. It's a lot of work, but it's really fun in the end. And I miss it over the summer when it's not in session. Yeah.
What makes it fun?
I make a lot of new friends. And I mean, it's pretty cool to play very higher level pieces than what I do at school. So, I mean, it's a really good experience.
And you're at, you said Central High School.
Yep.
So there's, do you play in the band there also, or do you stick with viola?
I stick with viola.
So obviously in the orchestra.
Yep.
John Curry is your director. He also directs the band.
Yes.
How has that been working with him? I know he was new to the orchestra, 2 years ago maybe?
Yeah, this is his
second
year. It's kind of a learning curve because, I mean, it's kind of, you have viola, you have string terms and then you have band terms, and you kind of have to show him how maybe the strings tune or different phrases that we use, like spiccato or different bow movements, versus he's just like, tune it higher, tune it lower, or he uses a lot of band phrases to say, like, how to get the beat correct or the tone correct.
So you guys get to teach each other, sounds
yeah,
like,
pretty much.
A little bit. He's a really fine musician. Have you ever heard him play saxophone?
He plays every once in a while. Once in a while, he'll take out his saxophone and try to play along with, like, the violins because he can read their clef. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, last I knew, he was really a fine player. I don't know how much he plays these days. Daniel, what about you? You've got the family precedent of being in the orchestra.
Right, right. Everybody else was, so I suppose I must be too.
Was that it, or?
No, actually, I used to go to the concerts when I was younger, when my brother and sister were in it, and I thought it was pretty cool, you know, get to play the great composer's music there, and I like to do that, so that's basically why I tried out.
And you've stuck around too.
Well, yeah, we're continuing to play those same pieces, so why don't I stick around to play them as well?
Those same pieces, meaning?
The same composer's pieces, the great composers.
Yeah, and you like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Remember once I asked you, you sort of perpetually have your earbuds on. I don't know if you actually have an iPod or not. And I asked you one time, what are you listening to? And I was kind of surprised at the answer. Do you remember what the answer was at the time? You remember when I asked you that?
I don't.
The Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto, not your usual kids' headbanger music.
It's my favorite.
That piece or just classical
my favorite
in general?
Violin piece.
Are you working on that? Have you worked on it?
No. My sister just finished working on it with her teacher at the university.
Someday.
Someday, I will, maybe.
But you're working on something, I think, for the Youth Orchestra's concerto competition.
Mm-hmm, the Saint-Saëns Violin Concerto No. 3.
Which is no slouch on its own.
No.
And Cassie, are you aspiring to the concerto competition? You haven't said anything so far.
No, I'm not in the concerto competition this year.
You're content to play viola in the section?
Yes.
And help manage the orchestra?
Yeah.
You're one of the student. Are you also one of the student managers, Dan?
No.
Yeah, Cassie is very enthusiastic about it, I must say. And also conned me into buying a bunch of apples to support her school music program, which turned out to be very good, by the way. One of the pieces that is on the youth orchestra program, and that's what we're talking about, Monday night, East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, Smith Hall, 7:30. It's a free concert. Or rather, I should say three of the pieces are dances from an opera called The Bartered Bride by Czech composer Bedřich Smetana. Here is one of those. It's called a foriant, which is a rather fast dance. And that's a portion of the third dance of the three dances from the opera The Bartered Bride of Bedřich Smetana. It is a comedy, by the way, as you sort of might guess from the character of the dances. We heard the foriant and the skočna is the actual Czech name. And those all three dances will be performed Monday night by the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra at Smith Music Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. 7:30 is the beginning of the concert. You're listening to Live and Local, and we have support for our show today from the Illinois Chamber Orchestra in Cosmopolitan Classics, featuring Prokofiev's beloved Classical Symphony, Schubert's Youthful First Symphony, and Haydn's Symphony No. 63, known as La Roxolane. Friday, January 21st at St. Agnes Church in Springfield, and Saturday, January 22nd at Second Presbyterian Church in Bloomington. Information is available at ilsymphony.org. On this portion of our show, we've got two members of the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, Cassie Phelps and Daniel Escobar, both of them members of the string section, violin for Daniel and viola for Cassie. And what did you think of the tempo of that that last dance, Daniel, since you get to play that part, that's the fast part?
It's a little fast for me.
Just a little fast.
Just a little fast.
Well, how often do you go out and find recordings, either of you, of the pieces that we work on in the youth orchestra?
usually the second I get the piece, like right when we get it, when I go home, I try and figure out what it sounds like.
I mean, do you go out, I mean, it's hard to find these things in a record store anymore. Do you get on Amazon?
YouTube.
Get on YouTube yeah, and just find things free?
Yeah, I have actually most of the pieces that we play. It's just a couple of times that I have to actually go and get another recording of a piece that I don't have. Like this Smetana, I have a recording.
You already had one?
I had one before we started playing.
Was that a piece you had heard before we played it? Or
yeah, I'd heard it.
And when I put the music on your stand, did you say, oh, no, we have to play this, or, oh, goody, this will be a lot of fun, or were you neutral on this subject?
Neutral, I think. Fast music isn't really fun to play, but it actually is fun to listen to, so.
You don't think it's fun to play?
Not particularly.
Because?
Because it makes your fingers tired.
Do you find fast music fun to work on, or does that depend on the piece?
Yeah, it depends on the piece. If I like the piece, then I'll work on it and it'll be fine. But if I don't like the piece, then just a drag.
And are there any pieces? This is your time for confession. Are there any pieces on the youth orchestra's program that you find to be just a drag to work on?
Not this time. I like all the pieces.
But there was another time or two.
maybe once or twice.
You don't want to confess what those pieces might have been? It won't be held against you. Do you even remember?
I remember thinking, oh, this isn't fun, but I can't remember the piece.
Well, it can't have been that. It didn't ruin your life.
No, of course not.
And scar you that you could never forget it. That's good. Do you have any favorites on this concert, Cassie? I guess I should say before you answer that question for our audience that the Youth Orchestra will be playing four pieces on the concert. One of them is Beethoven's First Symphony. Another is actually something that my colleague Vic DiGeronimo played right before this show started, which is the first suite of ancient airs and dances by Ottorino Respighi. So if anybody was listening at that point, you can sort of remember that. And then the dances of which we heard two from The Barter Bride, and then music by Shostakovich, his festival overture. Favorites?
It's a tie between the Beethoven and the Respighi. I like them a lot.
And anything in particular about them?
It has some, the fast parts are really fun to play and they're really fun to hear. It's, chromatically speaking, it's really cool to hear it. And I like listening to all the other instruments playing it too.
Oh, well, that's good that you actually listen to the other instruments, because as a conductor, that's one of my challenges is to get students to realize that it's not just your part, but I'm sure both of you are very sensitive to that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Well, especially I would imagine anyway, Daniel, that being in a household of people who play violin and some who also play piano. Do you play piano, by the way?
I play piano, too.
You do play piano. Yeah. Are you a good pianist?
Well, I guess. I don't want to say, oh, man, I'm the best pianist. I can play pretty well, I think.
So you need to, whether if you're in the accompanying role, listen to the person who's playing the solo, or the other way around, if you're the soloist. So you got to learn those kinds of things. Well, I wanted to give a sample of one of the other pieces on the program, one of Cassie's favorites. And this is another one where I'm going to scare you slightly. I haven't heard this particular recording for a little bit, but I'm just going to guess at what happens with the tempo of the last movement of Beethoven's First Symphony. This is a performance by the Tonhalle Orchestra of Zurich. Perhaps be one of my favorite sets of the Beethoven symphonies. It's also one of the cheapest ones you can buy, by the way, just in case you want to go out and get it. David Zinman is the conductor, and we're talking with members of the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, this portion of Live and Local.
Thank you.
That's some of the last movement of the First Symphony of Ludwig van Beethoven. David Zinman conducting the Tonhalle Orchestra of Zurich here on Illinois Public Media's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and my guests on this portion of the show, David Escobar and Cassie Phelps of the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra. And David suddenly seems to have the giggles over that for some reason or another.
Because my name is Daniel.
I haven't done that for a while. I haven't done that for a long time. In fact, I was worried when I said your was trying to come up with your brother's name earlier. I suddenly couldn't come up with it.
It's David.
And I was going to call him Daniel, but it's David. So there you go. Daniel Escobar. His brother was in the orchestra some time ago. And so that was a rather fast rendition of that final movement of the Beethoven Symphony. Daniel, I guess a question for you as somebody who is homeschooled. You've got musicians in the family, but you don't get a chance to play in an orchestra outside of this group, or do you play anywhere else?
No, this is the one orchestra that I can play, and I don't go to school, or I guess if my school tried to get an orchestra together, it'd be kind of wimpy.
It would. Well, and two of your school colleagues have graduated, so they're, although, do they stay at home at all? No, well, you said David
he's up at Northwestern. Often, yeah. My sister stays at home most of her time at the university, though, not actually at home.
Yeah, so what's the experience like for you being in an orchestra? Is there the added social element for you? Cassie mentioned that earlier, because, you know, you just have your family around you most of the time.
Yeah, well, it's one, you know, social outlet, I guess. I'm mostly for the music, though. I like the music.
And Cassie is somebody who is at a school where your orchestra is just strings, at least most of the time.
Yeah.
You come and you get to work with a lot of wind players. Does that feel different? Does that give you different kinds of challenges?
It's a definitely different feel, but, I mean, it's higher-level music. I mean, at school we play kind of simple or easier stuff that, I mean, it's all arranged, or it's for intermediate. It gives levels. And when I go to UCIYO, it's like, here you go. This is what they do. You can hear all these different paid professionals play this, and we're going to be playing that. And it's pretty cool to say that I've played that.
So we may or may not do it at, you know, quote-unquote professional tempos, like I deliberately picked those last couple that happened to be rather fast. But for the most part, it's professional-level music and has to be carefully chosen. Well, I'm glad you all are in the orchestra and have stuck it out for 3 years now, and we'll have you for another one, I guess, Cassie, and Daniel, hopefully, for two more. And it's certainly a pleasure to have you both in the orchestra, and that's part of the reason I asked you both to come on the show today. And I thought you just might have something interesting to say, and you didn't disappoint. Daniel Escobar and Cassie Phelps, members of the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra. They'll be participating along with another 50-some kids in from throughout the Champaign County and a little bit beyond. On Monday night, 7:30 is the concert. It's a free program in the Recital Hall of Smith Memorial Hall in the University of Illinois campus. Music of Beethoven, Respighi, Smetana, and Shostakovich, which we'll hear just a fragment of in just a moment. Support comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting is from 2 to 6 p.m. and features a selection of wines from around the world. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYLFM, and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Stay tuned next at 101 for the Writer's Almanac on 90.9 FM and 106.5 FM, and for classical music immediately at 101.1 FM, and then classical music coming to you on the other two frequencies at 106 PM. We're at 28 degrees right now at 12:59. I'll be off on Monday for the King holiday, and look for some of you hopefully at the Youth Orchestra concert Monday night. Here is a portion of the festive overture of Shostakovich. It's performed here by the Helsinki Philharmonic, conducted by James DePriest.